on the tape here. So so like this, we spoke last week about why it is, we said the reasons you have to make ishtadlis, one of them is because the Kodesh Baruch is testing you to see that you'll make honest ishtadlis. Another one is that you won't use your free time for doing aveiras. If a person's got too much free time, he'll eventually come to do aveiras. So so that's why a person has to be omel and find ways and means to make panasa, to keep him busy and also to test him that he'll make honest panasa. The question then that he asked is, how come you see in the world there are lots of tzaddikim that that have to toil and work very hard for panasa? That goes against what he just said. So he said that's a question already from the Nevi'im already asked that question, and they didn't give an answer. They asked the question, they don't answer it, and he gave I think 5 answers why you see that a tzaddik has to toil for panasa. The one is to punish him for some infringement that he might have done in this world. He'll punish him in this world so he doesn't have to suffer in the next world. The second reason was to increase his schar in Olam Haba. The third reason that other people will learn that even though he's having it hard and difficult, but he continues to serve Hashem, he'll be a dugma for people. The fourth one was in order to... what was that one? Kedei lahablit es tzidkosoi leman yedo roshoim laosid lova madu Hashem noisen loscha lehem oinesh. That's talking about in Olam Haba. To make it more bolet, to make his tzidkos more recognizable, more obvious, so that the roshoim in the next world will see clearly while they're being punished and he's getting scha. Okay, that isn't too much with us. And the fifth reason he brought was because the other one also was for the Bnei Doire, that sometimes a person has to suffer because of the generation. And the last one he says is because maybe he didn't do enough to raise the level of the door. He didn't protest enough when people were doing aveiras. So those are some of the reasons. He said that's a Pesach. He didn't say that's the end of the story. He says, there's a hesped just to give a Pesach, to open up a little bit an understanding of the sugya. So that's not the whole story, but it's a gateway. It's a beginning of understanding why Hashem makes those people work hard. There's another Rav Dessler. We'll see when we go through Ishtadlis properly and we see Rav Dessler, there's another reason. Could be Rav Dessler says that sometimes the tzaddikim have to make Ishtadlis, even minimally ishtadlis, in order to prevent gaiva. A person can be on such a high level of betochen and so connected to Hashem, Hashem's doing nisim for him, that he could start having thoughts of, wow, look what a big tzaddik I am. On his level, not I'm not dragging these people down to our level, but we need to have some way of describing it. So he brings there, for example, he brings from well, I didn't mention this. If I mentioned this before, stop me. He brings from Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, we don't understand who he was, but he was in the cave and Hashem did a miracle for him. He made the carob tree grow and the well, the water came there, the springs. They had water and he had carob seed. So if he's really doing a nice for him, do a nice for him that he doesn't have to even go pick caribs. Why do you have to pick caribs and eat them? You just have to put it in your mouth and chew it and swallow. Do a nice for him and give him an RV, you know, or whatever. So Tesla says, because he needs to make some ishtadlis so that he has to make some toil, he has to work a little bit. Reb Chinam and Dais also, who was the paradigm of poverty, the biggest tzaddik, his titkus is renowned. Even in his own day, he was recognized as the tzaddik ador. And yet the poverty in his house, the Gemara describes the poverty in his house was outrageous. And he when he didn't have oil for Shabbos, so he lit vinegar. Why do you have to light vinegar? Just light fresh air. You think vinegar burns. Oil doesn't burn, vinegar doesn't burn. So light fresh air. No, you have to make some ishtadlis. So the many examples from Elisha he brings and whatever. Okay, but that's the vote. So that's another reason why maybe they have to toil a little bit is because of the They need to look after their midas. Fine. Okay. Now he's going to look at it from the flip side. We also see that there's Rishoyim. According to this klal, okay, so there's exceptions to the rule that there's tzaddikim that have to toil for whatever these reasons. But we also see there's Rishoyim that have got it very good. According to the rules, the Rishoyim should be out there working Yom HaVelayla. So how can we see that the Rishoyim also have it sometimes very good? So that's the next tikkun he's dealing with on Shin Mem Gimel. When he's done with this, then he'll start getting into unraveling the sugya of Ishtadlis properly. Looking at what kind of Ishtadlis, how much Ishtadlis, where Ishtadlis, what Ishtadlis, going to the whole sugya of Ishtadlis, Lamaisa. But we need to get there first. So he says like this, Vayda Toiva Shakel Yisbaruch Meitiv L'Rosha, Lefamim HaSiba L'Kachi. Sometimes the reason is, I think he's going to bring, I think he's going to bring five reasons also, why it is that that Hashem bestows such good on the Rishoyim. So some of these are just the flip of why the tzaddik has to suffer. The first one is Mipnei also ba'avad avatov, v'alekim mashalim loscha avurei bo'ilam hazeh. Sometimes he might have done a good thing. You know, he might have done something good. He might have helped his mother across the road or something once. You know, it's an Italian mafia hitman. You know, but he's good to his mother, so he's got to get rewarded for that. So he's not gonna get tolam hava. So Hashem gives him his reward. Yeah, he has a good time. Yeah. He pays his the hated ones, soinev el ponov, that he finds them hateful, to wipe them out. It means he gives them a schaya so that in the next world there ain't them too much waiting for them. The thing unkelus umeshalem le senui. For the good that he's done in this world in order to wipe him out. What's the sanuhi? Okay, I'm just grappling at different shaktim in the different targumim of exactly how you. What the roots and the grammar of the word hatred is. But essentially, he pays the Rosha in this world so that he can wipe him out in the next world. He's not getting anything in the next world. So that's one reason. You see a Rosha having a good time in this world, don't be jealous of him because he's not going to Olam Haba where the real reward is. We know that the Kairos Ruach, if I told this, yeah, you must stop me because I don't know. I'm giving Vadim all the time. I don't remember when I say all these different things. As it becomes relevant, I mention it. But it says that the Mishnah says that the Sha'achas Mikairos Ruach of Olam Haba, one moment of Kairos Ruach, we'll see what that is now, of Olam Haba is the whole, all the pleasure of the whole world that ever was and ever will be, all the pleasure in this world will never get to one moment. 1 hour, 1 shah, whatever a shah is, of Kairas Ruach of pleasure in Olam Haba. Kairas Ruach, Ramot Chamal explains, is the smell of the chicken soup. It's not the actual thing. Kairas Ruach, it's like a side product of the benefit. There's you come on Friday afternoon and there's the chicken soup cooking as a gewaldika smell in the house. That smell means the smallest pleasure in Olam Haba is more than all the pleasure that this world can contain. If you take everybody who ever lived through all the doyruses, all their moments of pleasure, and compress it into one moment, a whiff of Olam Haba is bigger than that. So how are you going to give this guy? So you can pay him back all the. That's why Schar Mitzvah Baha El Malek. That's why you can't give somebody a reward for a mitzvah in this world, because there's not enough pleasure in this world to pay somebody for even one the schar for one mitzvah. So you can give this Rosha all the pleasures in the world that you can give him. It's not even one moment of just the smell of the chicken soup in Olam Haba. So don't be jealous of him because he's missing out on some real good stuff. You know, the pleasure in this world is nothing compared to the next world. So that's the first reason why Hashem seems to be giving the Rosha goodness. Very interesting insight. But sometimes a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives this uh, this benefit to the Rosha to hold until the tzaddik's ready to get it, and then it goes from the Rosha to the tzaddik. This guy gets a chvais, he gets a nice apartment somewhere, whatever, and he's living in a nice house, whatever, and he thinks it's his, and then when really it's not his house. The house is meant for some tzaddik, and the tzaddik will get it when Hashem decides, and then this guy gets kicked out, and the tzaddik moves in, and that's and there's nothing you can stop that. You can't do anything about that. So he's got a temporary bill of pleasure in this world, and all it really is, he's an apitropos. He's the caretaker looking after it until the real owner comes along. He brings a posuk. The posuk, he says, "Yakin v'tzadik yilbash." Oh, okay. He prepares in the tzadik. Where is it? For Oidnema, ulechayte nosen inyan leeso filiknois letet letov lifnei lokim. Okay. I'll leave you to grapple with the psukim and why you have to bring two psukim and whatever. So that's a very nice reason as well for the real owner. Well, the real owner is ready to get it. You see that sometimes it's very rich guy, he lost all his money. He didn't lose his money. He thought it was his money, but it wasn't his money. It was really, he was holding this money for somebody else, and now the money's gone to where it really should go. These cheshbonos are very complicated. If you try and track these in the world, you'll get very confused, because the cheshbonos, it's like he said, the Navim didn't answer these questions. He's giving us a Pesach to try and get a bit of imuna, a bit of a grip, so that we have something at least to answer the Yetzirah when he challenges our Emuna, when you see good things happening to bad things happening to good people, at least we have a bit of a Pesach. Well, this is not the whole story. Okay, as you see many times, sometimes the good that Hashem gives this Rosha is actually going to be the cause of his downfall, his death. He wins the lottery and he buys a Gevalt. A yacht, or he buys a jet, and he goes, and he's millions, and then he crashes the jet, and he lands up in the, he buys a fancy car, and he goes racing down, he has an accident, he kills himself. We see that many, many times. Or he eats himself to death, or he worries himself to death, because now he's got all this nechosim, and he doesn't know. What looks very good to this Rosha, what you think is, wow, why has he got such a good time? That goodness that Hashem's given is actually, that's going to be the cause of his downfall. That's actually going to be what wipes him out. So don't get confused, Kamoshe Kosov. Oisha Shomu Labai Lev Lariosai. That's a big klal for us as well. That's a big klal as well. Everything's money, yeah, but it comes with tzoros. Money comes with problems. Mabe Nchosi Mabe Vedaigas. Money is not a poshut thing. So he says, Oisha Shomu Labai Lev. Wealth is guarded for its owners, Lariosai, to do them evil. So it's a klala. It's not a big brocha for this guy to have all this money or whatever other goodness it seems that he's got. So that's another reason why the Rosha gets seems to be having a good time, but it's not so good. I once told you this. I brought you this from Rav Miller, Rav Avigdor Miller. I think I brought it in this year, maybe. The gathering of the 10 greatest, richest, most powerful men in America. I ever give you this? Did I not mention it in this Vard?
I don't remember.
You don't remember? Let me see if I've got it here. I don't know.
You told us something where Rav Avigdor Miller tracked down 10 of the people who had a gathering and they were the most prominent, and how he followed up on each one of them, how they had a terrible end.
What was that? That sounds interesting. When was that?
I'll tell you now if I can find it. I've only got Ishara B'tochen here. I have it in his other sefer, but it's not with me now. On Olam Haba. It's a sefer on Olam Haba. So there he brings it. I just want to see if he brings it here as well. The Shali is where. I don't know the sefer that well. I find it much easier to listen to Yishem than read his books. I find it very hard to listen to read his stuff. I don't hear his voice coming through in the Svarim. It's not Svarim he wrote. A lot of this is from the Talmidim. I don't always hear him. The guy that was doing the Shabbos Parsha sheet before was unbelievable. I'm mummish, you could hear his voice coming through there. They were well written. Just one second. Maybe it's here. give me 2 minutes. If not, remind me next week. I'll bring it in there. No, I'm sure I brought it from the other one. No, it's not there. Oh, maybe it's yeah, Injustice in the World, 175. So if it's not, yeah, we'll stop and we'll carry on. It's fascinating. He brings like the, you know, the head of the bank, the head of the electricity compartment, the head of the New York Stock Exchange, whatever. He brings all these guys at a big meeting. They were these big hot shots, and everybody was jealous of them. And then he shows what how they, each one's life ended. You know, the one in jail, the one committed suicide, the one landed up in exile, or whatever. One of the most terrible stories what happened to these guys. So that's the vort, yeah. Okay, I can't find it in Shara B'tochen in any safe. I'm sure it's here somewhere. Thick, so I'm not going to read. Mami Metzashem, I've got it. I know where it is in there. That's a good book. That his book on Olam HaBa'is. Someone gave it to me as a gift. Wow, what a gift. I'm not sure. You start thinking about Olam HaBa, you know, we live in Olam HaZeh, but we're really citizens of Olam HaBa, and we forget that, you know, you just mamashi makes it alive. It's fantastic. Okay, so fine. So that's the reason. Huh? Somebody asked a question, somebody said something. No. Okay, so just need me, sorry, I don't know. Okay, fine. So sorry. So there was that reason. He says an amazing thing here. Oh, no. Let's do this one first. L'fim Hashem, mash she b'yodo es ha-toyve sumarich lo'af. Sometimes Hashem leaves him with all his goodness, and he has patience with him. Marich lo'af. He holds back his anger for him. Because he knows this guy's going to do tshuva, and he'll be fitting it. He'll deserve it then. So Hashem lets him live with it now, because he'll deserve it later. So he leaves it with him. Even though now he looks like a rosha, so why has he got all this goodness? Because he's going to do tshuva, and then it'll be matim for him. Okay, that's the famous story of Menashe. Menashe was one of the biggest Rishonim that ever lived. And in the end, he was Chozer B'tshuva, and whatever he had, the kingship and everything that he had, he kept. It's interesting, he was such a Rosh. There's a discussion in the Gemara, even after he did tshuva, does he have a chelek in Olam HaBa? The Shita said, hold it, even after he did tshuva, he doesn't have a chelek in Olam HaBa. But whatever that's about, that's not a discussion. But you see, he brings from Menashe that Hashem left him with all his koiches and whatever, because he knew he was going to do tshuva, and then it would be fitting for him to have that. I mean, that's some tshuva. He killed his grandfather, who was Yeshaya Novi. You know, that's you kill your own grandfather, you know, who happens to be the, you know, so, and he was able to do tshuva. Besides everything else, Chizkiyahu was so great, and it brought Klal Yisrael to such a high level that he was supposed to be Mashiach. And on a small technicality, he got, the Gemara says he didn't sing Shira, so they said, no, he can't be Mashiach. Whatever pshat there is, I'm not going into that Gemara now, Gemara in Sanhedrin. Aval, his son Menashe turned everything upside down. He turned the whole of Klal Yisrael to Avodah Zorah. I mean, they went from being the biggest tzaddikim in one generation, he killed Yishai Novi. So Menashe was the reason Chizkiyahu didn't want to have children, because he saw what Menashe was going to do. And the Navi came to him and said, you forfeited your life. You're supposed to, you know, and he knew what he was talking about. So, and he did tshuva. So that's why Hashem said, I'll keep for him what's due to him, because he's going to do tshuva eventually. Okay, then he says like this, Urvamim Hashem Meitiv L'Roshem Ibn Hashem Oviv Oise Chesed Ba'avar V'Eroi She'itivu L'Bnoi B'Schusoi Moshe Om Hashem L'Yehu B'Nimshi B'Nei Re'ovim Yeshu lecha al kisi Yisrael v'nema mizhalech b'suma tzadik ashrei bona v'chorof. Praiseworthy are the children afterwards. The father was a tzadik, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you are my good friend, so I'll take care of your children after you. There's another pasuk. Nari yisigam zakanti v'lo yisi tzadik neza v'zorim v'akesh lechem. Didn't say the Zohar with tzaddikim. The father was a tzaddik, so the children get taken care of by Hashem. Someone wanted to tie in it. That's where Donald Trump comes from. That's why he had all the schus to be the most powerful man in the world, to have Jewish grandchildren. He had mamash unbelievable schus, a wealthy guy, because his father was such a tzaddik. Goyish a tzaddik, but his father helped Rav Frankel, who was a rov in the early days in New York. Of the Holocaust survivors, he helped him to start a cheder and he asked him to build a shul, and he was a very generous man, Frank Trump. His name was Frank. So there was actually somebody sent me a video of Donald Trump donated to the guy, a big tzaddik, he donated $100,000 to Atzala. So he gave a little talk about how he gave this money to Atzala because, you know, they do such wonderful work and whatever. He said, yeah, and I got that from my father. That's how my father used to deal with things. My father used to give lots of charity, whatever. So maybe that's where Trump got all his schiot from, was from daddy. Somebody wanted to tie it. That was, how does this guy come to, it was miraculous. He wasn't supposed to win that election. The numbers didn't gel, everything. And the next thing, he's the most powerful man in the world. And he did such goodness. I mean, he did a lot of good stuff while he was there. Not just for the Jews, for everybody, but that's where he got this chuzp, is because of his father. Sometimes you see that at Russia, but somehow the chuzp of the father continues. So that's the next reason. Then he brings another reason. Fima taras adover hi kadela noso, says B'nai Adam, hanirim k'tzadikim, ulevorem mi heim tzadikim rak klapei chutz, umi maheim heim tzadikim emes. Sometimes a Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to test and see who really is a tzaddik. Could be that he looks like a big tzaddik on the outside. Everyone thinks he's a big tzaddik. Well, Hashem wants to know, are you really a tzaddik or it's just externalities? They're these people who think that you think that's a deacon, they look like tzaddikim, but they see this Rosha being so successful in everything he's doing, got such a good life. Will also klum, you know, he's out there living the life, and look, I'm a big tzaddik and I don't have anything. So he gets drawn after them and he starts joining them in their lives, and he becomes mamash, he becomes a despicable and a deceitful and a cheat, and his whole pnimiyosim becomes mushcheses. They translate mushcheses, like mamash, like despicable, despisable, as a terrible loshen. And then those that, even though they see the Rishoyim being ma'od matzliach and whatever, they don't bother with it. They carry on being oivid Hashem and they live their lives. V'soiv limasher Rishoyim moishlim aleim u'machlim imoisam. Because the Rosh has got all this wealth and power, so he rules over this tzaddik. The tzaddik doesn't get me pa'al b'zeh. So Hashem's testing them using the Rosh. That's not a nice thing. You become a shliach of the sotan. You become something that's now testing the tzaddik. So Hashem finds out who's the real tzaddik. You know, the guy, everyone looked like a big tzaddik, but when you get drawn after there. That's not a possible sign, because we're encountering these people. All that we had, that we'd be really happy. And when I first started going fundraising in Canada, especially, and New York, whatever, and you start seeing the unbelievable wealth and the you know, because I'm not going to poor people. When you're fundraising, you're hanging out with all the rich people. You know, you're not interested in meeting poor people. You want to meet rich people. And you see the way they live, and you see all the wealth and the good life they've got, or whatever. As a nisoin gadol, I'm telling you, I used to have a terrible nisoin from it. Well, it wasn't posh. You think to yourself, well, I'm just as good as them. I could be, you know, I could have the bucks. Then what are they? They're not cleverer than me. They're not any more than me. Why am I running around here snoring, whatever, and, you know, taking bizyonis? Let me go do what they're doing. And I'll also start whatever. You know, I don't know whatever they do. I still don't understand how they make money. But anyway, I decided it's better being a schnorrer and staying. I saw Akash Bohu was Megala, I davened, and I saw their lives are not so good. It looks very nice on the outside. And most of them are miserable and they don't have such a good life. But anyway, you probably have the Nisoy now, Jonas, and you're hanging out with all those big rich. Well, you're working from home now. It's probably less of a Nisoy. But in South Africa, it can be a big nisoin as well. In the Jewish community,
materialism is a big nisoin. It's a big nisoin.
Big Nisoy. Big. See, that's what he's telling you. Yeah, that's why the Rishoyim have sometimes you'd say big tzaddik that's got money and he knows what to do with it. So that's a chizuk. We're talking about when you see Rishoyim, Mushchati, Mamash low lives, and they've got everything and it's all gewaldic and it's theirs and it's Mamash and they're lording all over you and cheating and you know, making them bizonous, terrible. And so that's it. They've been used. The Kosh Baruch Hu knows how to use people like that. And our job is not to get meat pile and go after them and want to be like them. But Gashmis is a big nisoyim. There's no question. Oh, very good. So then you see who's really Neman to Hashem's Avodah. They'll get enormous reward for this. Eliyahu suffered from Isabel as she tortured him and pursued him and made his life a misery. And Yirmiyahu, they're trying to kill him and they whatever, they're right off them. But they stayed true to their mission. Okay. Metzashem, next week we'll start on Shimemei. I'll just read to you just to give you a taste of what he's going to deal with. Is he says, he'll touch on medical as well, but the same thing applies to medical ishtadlis. After we've like I said now, after that we've proved that it is one of the obligations of a person to go after different means in order to mefanes himself via those means. First of all, he says we've proved that a person has a chiyuv to go after different means, make ishtadlis, that's what we call make ishtadlis, to via the ishtadlis, the panasa will come al yodom. He says, but it doesn't mean you have to go after every type of ishtadlis that comes across your path. Has to find what's matim for him based on who he is. We'll see, you're going to explain, you have to find something that you're good at, something you enjoy. Those are the things, and then he'll build that. That's very, very important. What happens when the panos is not coming? You have to change, don't you change? How do you? Mo'od halacha lamayis, a practical, how a person goes about deciding how he should spend the few moments a day that he does making panosta, what type of panosa he should try and what kind of work, what kind of ishtadlis he should make. That's matim for him. We'll start getting very deep into the sugya of ishtadlis. Also want to discuss a few other approaches to why we make ishtadlis and how, but let's first see what he has to say, and then Mr. Shimon will look at the other approaches. You need all of them, because not all of them are matim for everybody, and not all of them are matim at the same time. Like the Meshach's Chochma says, betochen, we don't have a psak. There's lots of different shittas in betochen, so have a psak. There's lots of different shittas in esregim as well. We have a psak, this one and not that one. Betochen, there's no psak. They're all available, they're all there, and you have to use which one you use when it's appropriate for you in the times, whatever. So the same with ishtadlis. Many different approaches to ishtadlis. You have to see what resonates with you at different times, different ages, different nishoinas. You need to develop, become an expert, become an uman, become a master of these sugyas. So Metz Hashem, that's what we're going to start dealing with Bezrat Hashem next week.
Okay, looking forward. Thank you very much, Rav.
Shkoyach, Laila Tov.
Okay, I think that, I don't know if you saw, he dealt with it unbelievably well. Rav Osher Weiss, the sugya of the whether to take the vaccination or not.
Mm-hmm.
So no, for me, it was always a halachic shala. And I wanted to hear from a poisek, but I wanted to hear the sugya because I've learned the sugya, and I was very interested. I didn't know the metzias. To be a poisek, you have to know what goes on in Shulchan Aruch, but you also have to know what goes in the laboratories. It's all in knowing the halacha. You can know the halachas of Shabbos inside out, but if you don't have fridge work, you don't know whether you can open the fridge on Shabbos, no matter how well you know the halachas. You need someone to explain to you how the fridge works.
So what did he say? Did he say the psakis we must
I'll send
get it?
I'll send you the link. It's on TorahAnytime.com. You should listen to it. I don't want to tell you what he says. He builds a sugya the way that an Adam Godel builds a sugya. It's a gewaldike limud. For somebody who doesn't learn from Amar Aretz, but said, I'll tell you what he says, but you can learn just the way he builds a
sugya. Are you sure you don't want to just tell me?
No, I know who I'm talking to. I know my customers. So you'll go through the sugya with him, and it's very, very interesting how he learns the sugya. The halacha was poshut to me. I had no problem. The halacha understood. I've learned the halachas. Rabbi Tetz wrote a whole book on this. And I've been through this. I've been through it a couple of times. Dangerous. How do you make decisions when you have to make dangerous? You have to take dangerous therapies in order to get well. How does the halacha deal with it? But no, just he explained how the thing works and whatever. Very interesting. When can you rely on Shrema Psoim Hashem? When can't you rely on Shrema Psoim Hashem? When you're allowed to take a risk for yourself, for other people, whatever. It's just the guy's unbelievable. You saw that share, Eli? You heard that share?
Yes.
Yeah, I never thought that share was pretty rough. Yeah.
Yeah, because the vaccine came out today or whenever it was.
Yeah, no, I had a loch lamaisa. Do I take the vaccine or not? So,
our friends have already gone to get it today.
In Israel.
Yep.
Yeah, I had my first one last night.
Sure, hey, you're brave.
No, I'm not. It's
an alternative.
Oh, Shlomo Yossi, I didn't even know you were here. I didn't even see you. How is it?
Yeah, I popped in. I came in a bit late, but I did get the last like 20 minutes.
Oh, okay, no, I haven't seen you around. So I heard your kids weren't.